Again, as always, we're thankful for the prayers and just to beg a continued interest in your prayer. Appreciate Brother Darrell's prayer. You know, our goal here as God's people, as McClendon Primitive Baptist Church, is to be a family to one another. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and pray that we would ever live up to that standard, which I believe is biblical. If you want to turn with me, we'll be in Luke chapter 5 this morning. We're going to continue our look at the I wills of Jesus. And as I noted last Sunday, as we see God's word and the I wills that are proclaimed throughout the Gospels concerning Jesus and his interactions with, I believe, his people, we over and over and over again, we get an affirmation of who Jesus Christ really is. And I mentioned that in depth last Sunday, that as we looked at the life of Jesus and looked as he went to Andrew and Peter and then James and John, and when he said, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Every time he says, I will, it's just an affirmation or an attestation of who he is. He's the Son of God. And I love that every instance that we have of Jesus saying that he will do something, he did it. Again, I remind you, I may tell you that I will do something and have the greatest intentions in the world. Sometimes people tell you they're going to do something and they have no intentions whatsoever of doing what they told you to do. But if I tell you I'm going to do something, I have great intentions, but the infirmities of the flesh may dictate otherwise. Circumstances in life may change, and so on and so forth. But when Jesus said, I will do something, he always did it. And it's geared in God's word, it's always geared towards, I believe, his people. And we're going to see an instance this morning where one came to him in just one of the most terrible physical situations that you can imagine. And he's going to say to this one in Luke chapter 5, I will cleanse you. Now, we're several years past the COVID pandemic that we all are well familiar with and all of us experienced in some form or fashion. And it's been several years now, but it's hard to believe. And it's still something that some folks are battling, some folks are facing even today. It hasn't totally gone away, but I remember just the initial panic and the initial information that came out during that time and how it was a frightening time for people. All of a sudden, there were businesses were closing down. We were being told by our elected officials that we need to stay home unless our jobs are absolutely essential, and stay away from one another, keep 6 feet distance from one another. And I think everybody tried to do the best that they could in that situation. Even for a time, we did not assemble together in this place publicly because of concern for that pandemic. And, you know, and all kinds of stuff happened during that time. You know, do you wear masks? Do you not wear masks? I would see people driving in their cars wearing masks. I had a meeting this past week of somebody in their office all by themselves on the screen wearing a mask. So, we chuckle about it, but it was uncertain times, and there was an amount of fear with that, fear of the unknown. Well, if you go down in the biblical times, they suffered and dealt with an issue that was even greater than the COVID epidemic, the COVID pandemic. And that was leprosy. And you read in the Bible, all the way back in the Old Testament times, there's this leprosy that's brought up. Now, leprosy was a disease during that time. It was a dreaded disease. It was a disease that greatly impacted you physically, and not only with internal symptoms of fatigue and loss of energy and things that come along with that, but externally, it was a horrible disease. And we'll look at that in a little bit, but what they were scared of in Bible times from the Old Testament, even during the time of Jesus' ministry, was contracting leprosy. It was a disease that was long and drawn out, and in many cases would ultimately lead in a painful death. So when God was giving the law to Israel in the Old Testament time, there was portions of that law in Leviticus 13 and 14 that was dedicated to how they dealt with leprosy amongst God's people. And there was a social distancing during that time if you had leprosy that was even more significant than staying 6 feet from one another like we were suggested to do during the time of COVID. It was a disease that people feared. It was a disease that ultimately led to death. It led to lots of suffering. It led to lots of physical disfigurement. And it carried a stigma because of the disease. And it's in the context of that that we come to Luke chapter 5, where there is a man that we see that is in the city that falls down before Jesus, and that's where we get our title this morning in Luke chapter 5, where Jesus says to this man, "I will cleanse you." So let's look at Luke chapter 5 and read verses 12 through 15. And again, pray for me this morning that the message would be honoring to God. And I hope as we see this leprous man, I've never preached about leprosy before, if I'm remembering correctly, but I want you to see as we examine this man with leprosy, I hope that we can see ourselves and see that we serve the Savior who will cleanse us as well. So verse 12, it says this, "And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Verse 13, it says, he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show himself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And verse 15 it says, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." This dread disease, leprosy, that was far worse than any pandemic that we have been through, is the scene that is set in God's Word to remind us as the Lord's people, He is the God who will cleanse us. Now, this is very interesting. This comes on the heels of what we read last Sunday from Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus he begins his public ministry and he comes to Peter and Andrew and then comes to James and John. I don't think that this is by accident that he calls his disciples, he calls these apostles to follow him, and one of the first people that he comes to is this man with leprosy. I think that there's a reminder to us here. He says to them, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And the first man that they come to is a leper. I think this is a lesson for us as God's people. Remember what we talked about when we talked about being fishers of men. We talked about ministering to those in this world who are in need, ministering unto God's people who are in this world that are struggling with trials and tribulations and difficulties. If we're going to be serving the Lord and living our lives as disciples as we ought to here in this world, I think that there's a lesson in here that those that are struggling with sin, those that are going through difficult times, those that are suffering here in this world, they deserve our attention as God's people, and we should seek out to minister to those in need. And that's what it was. The first one that they came to was a leper. Now, I want you to see the big picture. Leprosy is a picture of sin. We're going to see that as we go through the scriptures, but when he calls his disciples to be fishers of men, they come to this man that his physical appearance was probably sickening. He was weak. He was not where he was supposed to be, you'll see later on. He wasn't supposed to be in the city, but I believe he was there. He was seeking the Lord, and this was the first one that they came into contact with. As God's people, as we're sharing the good news of what God's people has done for us, we need to be aware that we're going to come across sinners. Why is that? Well, first of all, because you and I are sinners. But we need to be willing as God's people to minister to those that are struggling in this world, that are trying to seek the Lord, that are trying to seek answers to the challenges that they have in life. We need to be sharing the good news with those that are sinners. Jesus was saying, those that are whole need not a physician, but those that are sinners. And we need to be mindful of that. I remember when I first started pastoring a church many years ago, and the Lord was blessing, and we had folks that had started coming to church, and we got a lot of interesting characters coming to church. And I remember one time a guy was well-meaning, but he said, I'm thankful that the Lord is blessing us, but I wish that he would just send us just some normal, regular people. Well, the problem is, I don't think there's any such thing as normal, regular people. I may think I'm normal, but you may think I'm just as bizarre as I can be. So as God's people, we need to not shun those that are struggling here in this world, but as we have opportunity, we need to minister unto them. He came to the most physically unattractive, probably looking at this guy was just sickening, and this is the first one that Jesus comes to heal. We need to be fishers of men. Those that are outcasts to the world, those that are neglected, those that are rejected, that's what we're called to minister unto. Those that are seeking the Lord. And in this encounter, probably this encounter here that Jesus had with this leper, it probably wasn't but just a few minutes, but this man's life was changed. You never know what kind of difference you may make, how God may use you to encourage someone in this world that's struggling with sin, that's struggling with the difficulties of this life. You never know how you may be an encouragement to them. So that's extra. I wasn't going to speak about that, but that came to mind, so we'll trust that it's of the Lord. So we have the leper. Luke, if you remember correctly, Luke was a physician by trade. He was a doctor by trade. And I noted last Sunday that every one of the Gospels, they were written about the same circumstances, but they were written from different perspectives and different experiences. And now Luke is the beloved physician that is inspired by God to write this particular gospel. And from Luke's perspective, we have him writing really in such a way that those that were of a Gentile background would understand. It's written from that perspective, but this is interesting to me. Luke, the physician, is writing about this man that has leprosy. Now he says in verse 12, he says, "Behold a man full of leprosy." Him being a physician during that time, he was well familiar with this dreaded disease and the communicability of it. He understood what this meant for this individual. And when you see "behold" in God's word, it means pay attention. It's an exclamation. Look here. Now he says, "Behold, here is a man." Now I like this. It doesn't say that here's a man with leprosy, but here is a man that is full of leprosy. As my grandfather would say, here's a man that's eat up with it. He's eat up with leprosy. So he is far along in the progression of this disease. Now, this says that he is in the city. This is an anomaly as well, but because when you read Leviticus chapter 13 and Leviticus chapter 14, those that had leprosy were not welcome in the city. If they were in the city, according to Jewish tradition, they were to be stoned. They were to be killed because of the ability for this disease to be transferred to other people, and it just didn't happen. But here was a man full of leprosy. He was in the city. Now, what did leprosy do to an individual? I was reading about this past week, and leprosy, again, it's a disease that's been around really since the beginning of time. There are still folks today that battle leprosy, and we've discovered antibiotics and other medicines that help with it today. It's not the death sentence that it was during ancient times, but it's still around. But here's how leprosy would start. You would start feeling fatigued. You would start having sore and aching joints. You may be thinking to yourself, man, do I have leprosy right now? As I started reading this, it's not really good for us to get on the internet and read our symptoms. You can come up with all sorts of stuff. But fatigue and sore joints, and then it would start like a little nodule on the skin, like a bump or what I would imagine some sort of scabby place would start coming up. And you go back to the book of Leviticus, and when these types of things happened, there was a formula that the Jews were to follow if there was this suspicion of them having leprosy. Is it leprosy? Is it some other kind of skin issue? Do I have psoriasis? What is it? And it would start, but leprosy would progress. It would start your internal organs and your external body would start being attacked. And it would start as a nodule or a sore, and then the leprosy would just start attacking all different parts of the body. And it was a gruesome disease. It would start, and these lesions would progress till the point where individuals would start losing fingers and losing toes. It would start, and then what was left would just start curling up, and they would just be covered in sores, and folks would lose their toes, and it would lose their feet. It would eat up their nose and different parts of their bodies. It was this horrible disease that was consuming the body from outside and also inside. It would also slowly attack the organs of the body. Folks would get to the point where a lot of times they would lose their eyesight. They wouldn't be able to talk. It was this dread progressive disease. If any of you have watched Braveheart, you'll remember, I believe it was Robert the Bruce's dad that they visited, the man that had leprosy. And if you remember that scene, they painted the picture. He was kind of shrouded, if I remember correctly, in a dark area. But, you know, even that visual, it was startling during that time. And but this disease progressed to the point where you were just physically not able to go. Your limbs would just turn into stumps, and eventually it would just eat up the insides of your body until you slowly died. And this is used in God's word as a picture of sin in our lives. And is this not a wonderful descriptor of how sin operates in your life? I think it's one of the closest illustrations that we have to sin. My friends, sin is destructive, is it not? Sometimes folks engage in sinful behavior and make poor choices and lose their life instantly, but more often than not, sin is just something that slowly eats away at our lives. It eats away from the inside and from the outside. I've got people that I was once friends with, people that I went to school with that have lived lives just full of sin. And you can tell the effects of sin on their exterior appearance. Do you know people like that? People that's made terrible choices and it's impacted them. But it also eats from the inside as well. The effects of sin, the effects of leprosy. Again, there was the Jewish law. There were restrictions upon these lepers. They weren't allowed inside the city. And what would happen in the ancient times, there would be these leper colonies way outside the city where people with leprosy would gather together and live together in a leper's colony. That still goes on today in a lot of third world impoverished places. But they were not allowed in the temple. They were separated, if you will, from God and from the worship of God. And does not sin do that in our lives? When we disobey God's word and God's commandments, it brings a distance between us and God. And it's a result of sin. And Israel, and we see it even in the Gospels, Israel thought that folks got leprosy because of some sort of sin. They look back, you remember Miriam, Moses' sister Miriam, she was railing against him one time and she was struck with leprosy and Moses prayed and it went away and they thought, well, this leprosy, it's a consequence or it's a result of sin and people were ostracized. You were lonely. You lived out away from everyone else. You were rejected from society. You were isolated. A great picture of sin. Sin isolates us. Sin separates us from God. With leprosy, one of the things that would happen that was about as dangerous as the disease, as this disease progressed, you lost the ability to feel things. Your extremities would become numb. So if you were reaching onto the stove and put your hand up against a hot pot or something, if you had leprosy, a lot of times you wouldn't feel it, and that would create other issues. Sin, my friends, will make us numb to things that should get our attention here in this world. You ever had to deal with somebody that was in the depths of sin and try to tell them something? A lot of times they're numb to whatever you're trying to tell them. We have to be careful. If we rebel against God and persist in sin, a lot of times we're left in our sin, and where we were once convicted, it doesn't bother us anymore. We're warned about hardening our hearts, the hardness of sin. It's not a good thing. So the best thing for us to do when we sin is to confess and repent. But leprosy is this picture of sin. Now, there was no known cure for leprosy. It was ultimately a terminal disease. For the most part, it was a terminal disease. What I see in God's word, the only people who survived it were folks that experienced some kind of miracle. Remember Naaman the Syrian in the Old Testament time. He was a man that had great authority, but he was a man with leprosy. Naaman went to the king, and the king couldn't do anything for him. The king said, "Am I God?" But Naaman the Syrian had a direct intervention from God, and he was healed. The sin, there is no worldly cure for sin, is there? If there was some worldly cure for sin, we would not have needed Jesus Christ to come into the world and lay down his life for sin. So I hope you see that. That's a graphic image to think about, this progressive disease of leprosy eating away from the inside, eating away the extremities, no longer having sensitivity to anything around you, being isolated. It's an illustration of sin. And that sets the scene. We get to Luke chapter 5 and verse 12. It says this again, "And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Here was a man that was leprous, and I believe this man was seeking Jesus. Again, the lepers usually stayed outside of the city, and this man at great risk, at great danger to his life, comes and seeks the one who can heal him. As I said last Sunday, all of those that came to Jesus are the elect. They were his. And here was a man that came. Here was a man that probably had exhausted all of the resources he had to try to stay this dreaded disease. He saw that Jesus Christ was his only hope. My friend, the only hope that we have for sin is Jesus Christ. We can try to seek all sorts of answers here in this world. You're not going to find the answer here in this world. We can try to cover it up, and these lepers, I can imagine people being people. Someone would have this issue come up. They would try to hide it, but eventually it would come out and manifest itself. We may try to hide it. We may try to dress it up, but understand, my friends, the only hope that we have is in Jesus Christ. How did this man hear about Jesus? I believe the Spirit of God was in his life and drew him unto the Lord. So he was in a certain city, and it says that this man was full of leprosy. Now, I like this. It says, when he came to Jesus, he fell on his face. There's this theme, if you look in Luke chapter 5, of folks that were falling on their face before Jesus. We read it, Peter, in an exchange with the Lord previous to this, falls on his face before Jesus. Later on in Luke chapter 5, you have this man that was paralyzed, this man who could not move himself around, he's brought before the feet of Jesus. So in a sense, he's fallen before Jesus. He has no physical ability to do anything else but fall before Jesus. Well, this man falls before Jesus. And my friends, I think when we get into heaven and we meet the Lord face to face, some people have a whole lot of ideas about what they're going to do when they get into heaven. you know, I'm going to see grandma, or I'm going to see my grandpa, I'm going to dance because I'm physically not able to. I think first thing we're going to do is fall at the feet of Jesus. So we need to practice falling at the feet of Jesus as God's people today, because that's what we're going to do when we get to heaven. But this man falls before Jesus, and he has gotten to the end of his rope. And I think part of it is out of humiliation. He understood his condition, and he was probably in such an advanced stage of this disease. He was humiliated, but he knows where the healer is, and he goes. He falls on his face, and the Bible says he besought him. The word besought means to beg. He besought him, and I love what he says here. He says, Lord, now this tells me he understands that this was not just some mere man or just some fly-by-night so-called faith healer. He calls him Lord. He says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I love this, and this is the attitude as God's people that we should take with the Lord. Lord, if you will. He doesn't say, Lord, if you're able. He doesn't say, Lord, if you can. Lord, if you just haven't run out of miracles today, you can make me clean. He says, Lord, if you will. He knew that Jesus was able, and in humility, he comes before the Lord and says, if you will you heal me? That's the way we're to come before the Lord. You know, it makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up, the way that some people approach the Lord with their needs. I was reading something just this morning. And, you know, someone was writing out this prayer, and they were saying, Lord, I bind you to do this. Lord, help us. You know, we're not going to bind the Lord to do anything. Or I'm going to claim this. Lord, I'm going to claim this prayer. Now, people are well-meaning, but we don't have the standing before God to bind him, obviously. We have no claims that we can bring before him, but what we can do is fall on our face and say, Lord, I know that you're able, and if you will do this thing, do it. That's important. Don't say you're going to bind the Lord. That scares me. That makes me think of lightning bolts coming out of the sky or something like that. Let's be humble before the Lord. We know he's able. We need to just trust in his will. Lord, if thou wilt do this thing. And that's what happens here. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. My friends, again, I hope that you apply this to your situation. You think about your condition. You don't have leprosy, I hope, but we all have sin that we struggle with. We have this sin that we're all eat up with here in this world. It's consumed our lives. You know, we can look at the exterior and in our faces and see the impact of sin. I have these wrinkles because of sin. The decisions I've made and then the decisions that other people have made. We carry that with us. And if not on the outside, you know, on the inside, we are eat up with sin. But we serve one who is able to bless us. So this man, basically what he's coming to do, he's falling at Jesus' feet. And I think his attitude is this, Lord, if you don't intervene, I'm going to die. That man later on in Luke chapter 5, the same way, they brought him. I'm glad he had some friends that would bring him to Jesus. But he was at his feet. They were at the end of their rope. He falls down. This is the last chance. These were people that were gravely ill. Well, as we read on, we see here that he says again, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It's not an issue of ability, but we see it's a willingness. And he's saying here, I am filthy and I need to be clean. Now, the good news is, in the Gospels, every time somebody came to Jesus and came to him and asked him if he will, what did he do? He did it. And that's the good news. That's what we see. Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, you can go back and read that later. It's all about leprosy. It's all about this disease. And one of the things that you read in Leviticus chapter 13 is that if someone was suspected of having leprosy, they were to stay away from everyone else. And other people were to stay away from those that had leprosy. If a priest was to go into a house and someone was found to have leprosy there and they touched a spot on the wall where that person had touched, there was a ceremonial cleansing that was to go through. You didn't touch someone with leprosy. There was this ritual. If the priest went into a house, how they were to be cleansed. But Jesus, I'm thankful Jesus did not shy away from those that were sick. He didn't. And he was the one that was able to heal those that were sick. So what we read later on is that, you know, in verse 13 is when this leper came to him, "Lord, if thou wilt do this, thou can heal me." It says here that Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. And it says, "I will, be thou clean." Now, one of the big theological questions that comes up during this time, and you know, oftentimes it's from a critical standpoint is, well, Jesus did not keep the law because it said he touched this leper. What did that happen? Did Jesus break the Mosaic law when he touched this leper? Here's what I submit unto you. I submit, as his hand was going towards this leper, this man was healed and this man was cleansed right before his hand touched him. It says he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." This is a miraculous transformation. I want you to think about this now. Here was this man. He was full of leprosy. He was eat up with leprosy. It had progressed. He was probably horribly disfigured and at the point of death. And can you imagine? Jesus brings his hand up to this man. Digits were regenerated. His skin that was scaly, his skin that was eat up with this disease, all of that melted away, and he was as new once again. That's incredible to me to think about. And I think, you know, the power of our God is, as he was putting his hand and saying, I believe it happened just like that. You believe in that? I do. I believe in the miracles of God's word. It says, immediately the leprosy departed from him. What a wonderful blessing. This is a miraculous transformation. Aren't you thankful? All that come to Jesus, they went away healed. They went away whole. And that's the wonderful blessing about our lives and our sin. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Sin is far more dreadful than this disease that we've read about and spoke about at length. But I'm thankful we serve the one who is able to heal us. What an occasion this was. Jesus never turned away anybody. He said, all that Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Isn't that a wonderful miracle? Isn't that a wonderful blessing? If you want to know how we're saved from the dread disease of sin, it's by the same power that our Lord used to save this man with this terminal illness. Now we go on to verse 14, and we get to the real interesting part of this. Not that the rest of it hasn't been interesting, but we probably all understand that, what we've read, to a degree. But then we get to verse 14, and it says this, "And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them." You may ask the question, why did Jesus tell this man to go and tell no man, but show himself to the priest? Perhaps there was a part of it where, Jesus did not want to have, you know, it be a traveling circus like the medicine man and the healer had come into town. But I think that there was something bigger that was going on here. I believe, you know, the Bible teaches us that Jesus fulfilled the law to a jot and to a tittle, and this man was going to be an example to that religious elite of that day that the Messiah was here, and the miracles that he performed were of God. So it says here, he says, "Go show yourself to the priest and offer yourself for cleansing." Now, there in Leviticus 13 and 14, especially in Leviticus chapter 14, there was a process that someone was to go through if they happened to be cured of the leprosy. They went before the priest, and it was really a three-stage process. First of all, they had to present themselves to a priest outside the city. And there was a ritual that was to go through that. The priest was to look at the skin, and there was to be these offerings that were made. And then after a period of time, I believe it was 8 days, you were allowed into the city, but you couldn't go back to your house. And you stayed outside of your house for 8 more days. This was really an isolation, and there were other sacrifices that were to be made during that time. And then finally, the third time, as they go through, an individual could be let back into society and let back into their homes. So Jesus is going to make a point that I think is a wonderful point for us to get here when he says, go show yourself to the priest. You're going to go to the priest and show yourself fully cleansed and fully whole, and this is going to be a testimony of who I am. Now, you can spend a lot of time talking about those sacrifices, and the sacrifices that were to be made, the priest pretty much had to make all the sacrifices going through this process for this person that had leprosy that no longer had it. But there was one of the processes that was to happen that was, I think, a wonderful testimony that pointed to Jesus. All of it did, but let's think about this for a minute. He says, you go and show yourself to the priest. Now, can you imagine? Let me set the scene for you. Here's this man that was eat up with leprosy that no longer had it. I'm sure that there were those around that were aware and knew this man. He probably had family and friends. But Jesus says, you go show yourself to the priest. Now, I can imagine the priest being there and all of their arrogance. First of all, he had to find a priest that was probably challenging. And then, the priest probably drew straws to see who was going to go out there, because this didn't happen a lot. And probably a lot of times where it did happen, the person wasn't cleansed or the person wasn't healed. So he finds a priest, and one of the sacrifices that was to be made goes this way. The priest would come, and the priest would make this offering. He would bring a bowl of fresh water. You go to Leviticus and you can read about this, Leviticus chapter 40. A bowl of fresh water. Jewish tradition, they said they used bowls of living water, bowls of fresh water, to make this offering. And what they would do, they would take this bowl of water and they would take cedar. They would take cedar wood and they would put in this bowl, and then they would put scarlet thread. And they would have doves for this sacrifice, and they would also put hyssop, have hyssop in this offering that they would make. Scarlet thread, red, living waters, water. The hyssop. This hyssop was a plant that grew out of a rock. A seed would get in a rock, and this most uninhabitable place, this seed would grow, and there it would grow out of this rock. It would penetrate out of this stone and come to life. I hope in all of that you see a picture of our Lord. But what they would do, they would have two doves. And one dove would be sacrificed. They would cut the throat of this dove, and they would use the blood of this dove. They would mix the blood in the water where the cedar and the hyssop was. And then they would take the other dove, and they would dip that dove in that water, that bloody water. And can you imagine that dove's fluttering and flying? And blood is being sprinkled. And in that offering that was made, that dove was put into that blood and fluttering around. The blood would sprinkle that one that was sick, the one that was plagued with this dread disease that no longer had the blood. It would be sprinkled with the blood. And it was a symbol of the uncleanliness being taken away. That priest would let go of that dove, and it was fluttering and making a mess and sprinkling blood everywhere, and then it would fly away. A picture of that sickness, that disease being taken away. That's what would happen when this man went to the priest and showed himself to the priest. Those arrogant priests and religious elite of that day, they were given an object lesson of who was the one that healed this man. That's beautiful, isn't it? That is touching for me to think about. This man, don't show yourself to men. You go to the priest and you present yourself, and you show yourself to the priest according to Moses' commandment, and it was to be a testimony unto them. So this priest came and done this, and this man was clean. He was sure enough clean. Maybe the priest knew about this man. Word would get out. This wasn't something that was could be ignored. They may deny the Lord. They continue to say he's doing these miracles by the devil, but it's undeniable that this man had been healed. That's beautiful. You go there for that reason. You go and show them that your uncleanliness has been taken away. You make them go through that sacrifice that uses living waters, the part that points to me, the fountain of living waters. You use these implements, this scarlet thread, this red thread that points to my power, that points to my ability. You use this blood that's going to be sprinkled as this dove is sacrificed. You make this sacrifice. That all points to me. That's incredible to think about. To think about here. He says, you go and for that reason, do that. You show them that you have been healed. And oh, what a wonderful blessing. You know, you can say what you want to, but this man, thinking about those who had an encounter with Jesus, all of them were healed, but there was no doubt that there was some kind of change, that there was some kind of difference that was made in their lives. And those priests saw that there was a difference made in this man's life because he was healed. I go to Romans chapter 3 to close out. We'll close out here very quickly. But Romans chapter 3, this came to mind as I was considering this. Jesus healing, Jesus delivering, sending this man to the priests during this day, and them being witness to a miracle that occurred apart from them. Notice this, what it says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. In Romans chapter 3, we have the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of God, rightly dividing what the law was and what the law pointed to. And Paul wrote this, Roman, and we could read the whole thing. Let's read start in Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. Paul says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The word picture here that Paul uses, it's like the law and the prophets are standing afar off, witnessing the power of God. Do you see that? And that you know, we're no longer bound by Jewish law because what? Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. The Jews of today will look back on the prophets, but they misunderstand what the prophets of old time were speaking about. The prophets of old time were speaking about the coming Messiah. They were speaking about the one that we just read about in Luke chapter 5. So Paul says, now he says, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. That's in a sense what was going on in Luke chapter 5. The righteousness of God was being manifested, and this man was healed of this disease. And Jesus says, you go to the priests and present yourselves unto them. It was a token that the Messiah was there, and he was fulfilling what the prophets had said. Then verse 22 of Romans chapter 3, it says this, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This was an example to the religious elite of that day. Here is a man that has been delivered from death, apart from them and their self-righteousness. This man was healed. Going back to our condition, he says, you go. Jesus did that for us on the cross. We were saved apart from the law because we couldn't keep the law. But Jesus, the Bible says, fulfilled God's righteous law to a jot and to a tittle. Now, we can talk about whether or not Jesus actually touched that man. I've given you my thoughts on it. If you've got differing thoughts, I guess that's okay. But I want you to understand what Jesus did for us was a step further than what Jesus did to this man. This Jesus spoke and this man was healed. Jesus did not take this man's leprosy upon himself. But what did Jesus Christ do on the cross? And this is what we're going to finish up with. Jesus Christ on the cross, he took the dread disease of sin that was upon us on himself. So he went a step further, far greater than even the healing of this leper. Jesus Christ on the cross, the Bible says, he who knew no sin was made sin for us. So we know for a fact that he touched the unclean because he's touched me and he touched you, and he took our sin upon himself. And what did he do? He gave us his cleanliness. He that knew no sin was made sin for us. I am thankful that we serve the God who is able to cleanse us. He has cleansed us from our sins. My friends, we still have the presence of sin in our lives because we still live in this sin-cursed earth and we still have this sinful nature about us, but we know for a certainty that we have been cleansed from our sins. We have been delivered from the consequences of our sins. That's good news, is it not? That is the God that we serve. Oh, this healing of the leper, it was a great miracle. It was a great, great cleansing that Jesus Christ blessed this man with. But us being delivered from our sins is something far greater. What a testimony this man was. But my friends, we're a trophy of God's grace today. I will cleanse you. That's the God that we serve. It doesn't say I will if I'm able or I might. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Let's turn to song number